620 at the Big 550 KTRS and our streaming video on KTRS.com and STLtoday.com from the First Rule Film and Broadcast Center in the University Tower. I am Paul Harris. Kelly Jackson's here with me. Remember last year on an episode of 60 Minutes, they had a big reveal of Amazon Prime Air. This was where you were going to get your stuff from Amazon delivered to your home by a drone that would fly through the neighborhood, come down to the sidewalk in front of your house. It would plop the package there, and then it would go away. Well, Amazon said, we hope to get this going in the future.
Right.
But first, we have to get the FAA to go along with it, because you can't fly stuff through the air anytime you want. You got to get the approval of the federal government and the Federal Aviation Administration. Well, on Sunday, the FAA came out with proposed new rules, and Amazon says those rules will make it impossible for them to do delivery by air. So Prime Air, at least for now, is not going to happen. But a coalition of businesses, including Amazon and Google and GoPro, the people who make those tiny little cameras, they have come together to try to change the FAA's mind. And joining us now is Michael Drobak, who's executive director of that coalition called the Small UAV Coalition. That's the Unmanned Aerial Vehicle Coalition. Michael, welcome to the Big 550.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
What did the FAA do that's stopping Amazon and others in its tracks?
Well, you know, it's a good first step to propose the rules, since they're delayed quite a bit. But what they did was they said that there would be no beyond-the-line-of-sight operations. That means you have to have a physical eye on the UAV in the sky to perform any kind of commercial operation, which means virtually you're not having a, or theoretically you're not having an unmanned aerial vehicle, because you got to be able to see it, which means delivery is very, very, very hard. The other thing they did was they said that you had to have personnel on the ground whenever there's an UAV that were associated with the project. So anyone that's on the ground that's not associated with the project made the operation illegal.
So that also
makes it somewhat difficult.
So I guess what Amazon and others wanted to do, and by the way, I'm sure Peach Delivery Companies and others, you know, pharmacies, Walgreens would probably like to be able to deliver pharmaceuticals this way to you, et cetera.
Yeah, CSL, you bet.
I'm sure that what they wanted to do was just program in the coordinates for the delivery zone and let the plane take off, or the drone take off from, I guess, the roof of their building or their loading dock, and just go by itself, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, what you're referencing is automation, the concept of this being truly autonomous. And I think we'll get there. This is the first step. I mean, it's happening in France. These things are happening in other countries. We are the only leading industrialized nation that hasn't come up with at least some form of rules that will deal with the commercial UAV.
So, what kind of businesses are doing that in France and elsewhere?
There's a company called Delair Tech that's doing it in the precision agriculture space, where they're already commercially operating UAVs beyond the line of sight. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in a number of other countries where they have been much more progressive with how they're handling UAVs. Japan has been using UAVs for precision agriculture for a decade. So this is not a new technology. We're just new to it in terms of how we're regulating.
Now, the FAA says that the rules that they were talking about on Sunday, and which are now open for public comment, I guess, for 2 or 3 months, 60 days, 2 months, they say that this would be perfect for farming, or even somebody wants to make a movie. You don't have to have the expensive crane. You just put the camera up in the drone, or construction companies could use it. So those uses are still available under the new rules, right?
Well, they are, once the rules are put in place. And again, that could take 9 months to 20 months. So, I mean, we still may have a ways to go here. Yes, they are. I mean, this is a step forward, no question. No one would argue that we haven't made progress. I would say that once this rule is final, we're going to see development of an industry that's going to be ubiquitous across every sector of the economy at scale and promote efficiency. However, we have some work to do, because there's so much more we can do to fulfill the promise of this technology.
I was going to say, Amazon is so committed to doing this. How much money do you think they have spent trying to put this program together?
I just don't know that, I'll tell you. But it's less about money than it is about the imagination, because oftentimes you'll see that the things that companies create, you didn't know you needed it until one day you don't know how you live without it.
I'm curious about one part of this, Michael, and that is, once we do get to the point where you have automated drones, where, you know, again, they punch in the coordinates, the thing takes off from the loading dock, it takes the package, and it goes to that place. I know Amazon is very good at this, and Google is certainly very good at not only knowing where its customers are, but what else is around where the customers are. But what are you going to do about electrical wires and other things that would be in the way of whatever is delivering that? I mean, I don't want my neighborhood losing power because some drone has taken out the transformer down the street.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think one of the problems we've had thus far is that testing of the UAVs has been very difficult because there's only 6 test sites in the U.S. They're remote locations. Most startups can't afford to go to those places to test and iterate their UAV designs. But there's a technology called Sense in the Void or Detect in the Void, where you use radars and other forms of technology that are already available, where it wouldn't be a problem. Where if there was something in the way of the UAV, it would detect it and avoid it. And obviously, this is one of those things where technology solves problems. It doesn't create them. And so I think we're getting to a point where some of these questions will be answered just by the demonstration of how technology has evolved. But we need to see it. And that means testing. That means a fuller comprehension of where the industry is. And I think we'll get there very, very quickly. And this is a good first start. You get some rules out or proposed rules that we can bat around and discuss. So it's a good thing that we're now where we are, which is discussing this and seeing where we can take this economy. I think it will be in the near term that we see more applications for this technology than what are going to be permitted by this proposed rule.
All right, let me put the commercial aspects of this aside and ask about the personal flying of drones. If I want I can go to Best Buy or any number of stores today and buy a drone and start putting
it on Amazon.
and get it right up in the air and start flying it. What do these rules tell me I can't do?
Nothing. So if you are a hobbyist, a recreational rule, and this is one of the things I thought was great about what the FAA did. We've had some instances where people are suggesting that, we should not allow for recreational use. But what these rules said, they said, look, there's more benefit than harm that comes from these UAVs. That's a wonderful first statement by the FAA. They did not prescribe or suggest any new rules for hobbyists. In fact, they didn't even touch the subject. There already exist rules for those who want to use these devices recreationally. And technology is never wrong, so operators can be. And the FAA did not put any more restrictive measures in place for recreational users. And, and to the point about this new technology, it's here. It's going to win. It always does. And recreational users, commercial users are now beginning to dream of how it can be used, how we can use it to save lives, protect our first responders, use it for search and rescue, disaster management, and use it for fun. So I'm excited about where we're going with this.
Yep. I mean, I can understand why we need to have some rules about its use. You don't want it to be too close to the airport where big flying things don't need other smaller flying things bumping into them. We need to have privacy protections so you can't take your drone and put a camera on it and shoot through my bedroom window on the second floor.
Right.
Not that anybody is ever going to want to see that in my case, but, that's the world we live in.
I don't know. You never know.
Trust me, I have a mirror. but those are the certain sort of things that we do need these rules for, and it'll be interesting to see how that gets controlled going forward, and to see, and we'll also see if the retail side of it, the delivery of the retail side of it, comes forward as well. Michael Drobak is an attorney and the executive director of the Small UAV Coalition. That's the Unmanned Aerial Vehicle Coalition. Thanks so much for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. You take care this morning.
Thank you. This is the Big 550 KTRS.